You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right.
News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM WVNN. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Like the dude just said, we are indeed solid, conservative, and just plain right. Hey, listen, going to one of my favorite moments of every single week where we bring in two others who are with us in heart and mind, and we often agree. Sometimes we ping each other back and forth a little bit, but we love each other when it's over with. We call this the Grand Council. Myself and Dale Jackson from right here at WVNN, as well as our buddy Jeff Poor from FM Talk 106.5 down on the coast. Do I have a Dale Jackson with me right now?
What?
Yeah, he's here. As a whole. All right. Do I have a Jeff Poor in the house?
I am present.
You are indeed. Copper, get that sound effect ready because I am pronouncing a quorum is present. We shall convene. Hit the sound effect.
Assemble the Grand Council.
All right. Okay. Here we go. Off and running. I think I'm going to take the first question because I just reserve that right to myself. Anyway, here's the bottom line. Gambling in the state of Alabama. Casino operations. I'm not even talking about lottery. I'm just talking about casino right now. Last year, they had a god-awful bill, at least I think it was, that would have taken the same bad actors who have often been violating Alabama's laws and given them a pure D monopoly and embedded their names in our state constitution, and the bill is coming back. I'm hearing it's coming back. Senator Albritton says he's going to bring it, but I've also talked to multiple major organizations and individuals who are lining up to oppose it. Give me your predictions. Are they going to pass a casino bill or not? Jeff Poor?
No, there's not, it's not happening in this session. The bill the House, I mean, the bill the Senate has, just isn't workable now. So what's going to have to happen is you're going to have something come out of the House first, I think, and then maybe they work their way there because that seems to be where the governor is. But eventually, and this may be 2023, 24, 25, or beyond, gambling's going to happen in this state. I just don't think it's going to happen now.
All right. Dale, what you think, man?
He can bring it, but he can't get it. No, it ain't happening.
Yeah, I think it's got about as much chance as Biden's Voting Rights Act right now. That's my thought. So, Dale, you got anything to add to that? Or were you good there?
No, that's it. I mean, I just don't. You didn't hear Ivy talking about it. She doesn't want this in an election year. I think there's a lot of politicians who feel the exact same way. Hey, we'll take it and we'll pass it and wait 3 years to deal with it later. Maybe in the first year of a quadrennium, but not here.
Yeah, I think though this is the year for the opposition to make hay because they can. I think the opposition, if there's truly, and I, by the way, there's some well-funded opposition that I'm aware of, but if they get out there and really, you know, scream and yell and make themselves known at a time when the legislature is really not trying to get it done, then they're gonna make their name known and maybe scare off the opportunities for things like this in the future. We'll see. All right, I'll just move over to Jeff Poor. What you got, man?
A continuation of your conversation on social media here. This Oath Keeper indictment here is being hailed as a "see, we told you so." There was an insurrection on January 6th, and a Viking hat Speedo guy, Chewbacca guy, was really indeed going to be the next president, and then just I guess install Donald Trump later on in the day, but. These guys, they keep doing this, and it comes off as intellectually vapid and just, you know, a lot to be desired there. But they're not going to give up on this narrative, are they? And does anything change based on today's DOJ action?
I don't think so. I mean, the thing, this, I'll jump on it real quick. So, yeah, to catch the audience up, some guy who was the head of an organization called the Oath Keepers, which is like a militia group or an anti-government group, they were extremists who even, they're some of the ones who had weapons back in their hotel room. They didn't bring them to the Capitol, but they had them back in their hotel room. And they allegedly had a plan, now we hear, to sweep through the Capitol building, all 10 of them, and make bad things happen. Well, it took them a year and a half to figure out how to indict this guy, and they indicted him not for insurrection but for conspiracy to commit sedition, which is opposition to the government but not true insurrection. So I don't think they're going to give it up, man. I think they've got to have some kind of scapegoat to say, see, we were right. And we'll just see where it goes. Dale, what do you think, man?
Well, pay attention to how they're framing it. We got one. See? Now next is Donald Trump. This is how we get there. The domino falls. A guy from Arab, Alabama, he's first. Second guy, Donald Trump. It's over.
Okay. All right, Dale, you're up, man.
How dare you not take that seriously? here's my question. It's a two-pronger. It's mostly for Phil Williams. Jeff, you can watch. The question is this. The vaccine mandate falls, obviously, for OSHA. The medical worker one stands. And what is the status of our lawsuit with the ULA folks?
Yeah, so just a few minutes ago, I had Matt Clark on from the Center for Law and Liberty. He jumped on the show with me to unpack all of that, to include the ULA. So the ULA was subject to a separate mandate. They were subject to the federal contractor mandate, and that one has been enjoined in some places, but not blanket across the nation. So technically, ULA is still in a position to where the courts have not said, don't do it. Although we do believe that's going to go up to the Supreme Court eventually, too. That being said, the state laws that were passed, which despite the fact that you and I get trolled all the time by that know-it-all on email, Dale, the state laws say, you know what, you are allowed to appeal that to an administrative law judge in Montgomery. Well, several of the workers who didn't get their exemption request at ULA, they did that, and ULA has chosen to ignore it thus far. So at this point, ULA is pursuing a piece of national law that is dubious, and they are ignoring state law. I suspect more is coming, legally speaking.
I think you're right about that, Jeff.
This is like, it kind of tells us what we do. Is anybody surprised by this ruling? And even, I'm watching the coverage today, not even lefties seem to be that surprised by the ruling today. But they are angry. But this gets back to a bigger point, guys. They are playing up the silly Oath Keepers narrative as part of what's really going on over that L that they got handed by the Supreme Court.
Yeah, and let's just go ahead and call it what it was. It was a bad day for Biden. I mean, it just basically he can't get his voting right. He can't demand as an executive that the legislative branch change the rules. He can't get his voting rights debacle passed, and he can't seem to get anything done on the vaccine mandates that he never should have put everybody in the position of having to deal with. It's an awful day to be in the Biden administration. Do any one of y'all think that Jen Psaki loves her job?
Doubtful.
But she's going to have a great job for her once she moves on beyond this. She is paying her dues right now for a high-pressure, low-paying job that will pay off as spokeswoman for Google or something someday.
I can't help but imagine the same. And truthfully, if I recall, I think she even announced that she was not going to be there much longer than a year. At this point, I just think that I feel like her hair is getting gray as we watch. But all right, we got time for one more question for a break. So who's it come back to? Come back to me, I guess. So here's the deal. Local, back to Alabama here. Negative campaigning is beginning now. We are past the holidays. The honeymoon is over. We've got within the U.S. Senate race, we've got the negative ads being run on behalf of Mo Brooks, really behalf of Mo Brooks and Mike Durant against Katie Britt. We've got an article written in Gateway Pundit, which most people around here don't read, against Mike Durant. We've got something written in Alabama Political Reporter, which I hate that I even said that out loud on the air, but there it is. That seem to intone that, there's things that need to be known about, Mo Brooks. All that to say, are we about to see a whole lot more negative campaigning, and will it matter? This is a tight race. Jeff, what do you think?
I think it is going to shift some. The only reason I say that, the Britt folks have been very active, and they've been out and about. That seems to be the campaign that has been running at any kind of speed right now. We don't know about. Durant looks like he's. It's like a phantom campaign. I expect to see more out of that. But and with Mo Brooks finally, kind of decided to spend some money here and having these super PACs speak on his behalf, getting engaged. that's going to have an impact on the race, where it go and how the count, what kind of counterpunch we expect to see from any of these campaigns will dictate kind of what the direction is. But I do think it is continuously evolving.
Dale,
Jim Hoft, Bill Britt, loathsome subhuman losers of the highest order. Congratulations on your grifts of different types. I wouldn't take too much account into anything either of those guys are saying. However, that kind of negative stuff does trickle its way in. I don't know if there's any evidence of having any impact right now. I still think social media and the internet is very, very bad at getting their little scandals and stuff like that into the mainstream media, but having an impact on the election. But they'll try their best. That's my takeaway from what you just said.
They'll try their best, no doubt. All right, Copper, take us to a break. We'll come back. It'll be Jeff's turn when we get back. We're doing the Grand Council right here on Right Side Radio. Every week we do this. Three of us work the conservative issues on our own shows, then we combine on this one for a little while, ping each other with questions. We have not read the questions in advance. We get surprised at times, but we always walk away with our back a little straighter. Still love each other. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. We'll be right back. News Talk, 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Going right back to the phones right now, we got the Grand Council underway here. My brethren, Jeff Poor from FM Talk 106.5 down on the coastal regions, and we've got Dale Jackson from right here at WVNN, our morning show guy and program director. I believe, Jeff, you have the next question, man. Take it away.
Tim James makes his announcement yesterday for governor there at the Capitol steps. He's now embarking on a statewide tour of Alabama. A percentage chance here that Tim James is the gubernatorial nominee for the Republican Party come June.
Dale, you first, man.
Repeat the question. I'm sorry.
Are you kidding me? What are you doing?
Sorry. I got a little kid running around at my feet. I apologize. Go ahead. Repeat the question.
Stop
again.
Tweeting and pay attention. The percentage chance that Tim James is the Republican nominee come June?
35.
That's okay. I'm going to – is that your full answer? You want to call
Yeah, that was actually going to be my question. That's why as soon as he said that, I started thinking of this, and then Grant ran by, so it became another issue.
Ask Grant what he thinks. What does Grant think it's going to be?
Play video game.
All right, I will go ahead and jump on then and say, Jeff, I'm going to give him more of a 45. I think that unless something changes, Ivy is strong, but she's going to be in a runoff. So I'm saying runoff Tim James and Kay Ivy as it stands today. I think the race is too crowded for it not to go to a runoff unless she can really pull something out. But I think that she's more vulnerable than she's ever been. And James announced on my show yesterday that he's raised $1.6 million in just the last month for his campaign. So that's interesting. Wow.
Well, I think that he's got to hit her vulnerabilities. Now, my perception is her two vulnerabilities are probably this, gas tax infrastructure, I-10 bridge, and in the way she handled COVID and some of her rhetoric about the vaccine and how normal people get the vaccine and people that aren't normal don't. So, but I had him on my show today. I don't think he's quite there yet, so I'm a little bearish on the Tim James. I put it in the realm of 30%, a little lower than Dale. I need to see more there.
All right, that's good. That's good stuff. All right, either Dale or Grant, ask the next question.
In a day of big L's for the Biden administration, the biggest one may not be the vaccine mandate. It may be Sinema and Manchin both saying, no, we told you we're not doing this filibuster garbage. Is that it? Is that the nail in the coffin? Time for them to move on to whatever the next phase is for Democrats.
I don't think that's it. I think I just did a whole segment on that before we did Grand Council, and I've been telling the audience, I think we have to keep our powder dry here. We have to keep our eyes on it. And keep our heads on a swivel. There's all my cliches. But nonetheless, I'm just saying, I don't think so. I just saw a tweet, by the way, from somebody who claims to know right during the break that said that Sinema and Manchin are meeting with the president this afternoon at the White House. Not that I think they could be swayed yet, but nonetheless, there we go. Jeff, what do you think?
No, I think they got to move on from this. The longer Democrats think that they got a shot at changing the filibuster for this voting bill, the bigger loss it's going to be. They need to figure out a way to get out of this hole and move on and try to do something. You're going to have to use executive power. There's no way that they're going to get anything big done through this Congress. I thought that was the case from the very, very beginning. It was just the margins are too tight. They're not going to have the numbers. You may get one or the other. I don't think you get either, but you got to get two. How likely is that? I think pretty unlikely.
I agree with that, but I think that I don't trust Schumer for a second to not try and zip something if he has the opportunity or sees an opening. So I just think that we have to keep in mind that this was big enough for Biden to go out there and give an angry old man speech, that they're not going to let it die in one day. Dale, your turn, man. What you got on your own question?
No, I think they're done. I think they're absolutely done, and you're right about Biden and the angry old man. I was shocked. I heard a guy ranting about the Confederacy and Jefferson Davis and MLK in Georgia. I looked up, and it was the president. It was shocking. Shocking stuff.
All right, gentlemen, as always, thank you for your time. That was a good one. The Grand Council, Jeff Poor from FM Talk 106.5 down on the coast. And then our own Dale Jackson, the morning drive guy and program director right here at WVNN, a legacy in the area with 15 years of doing radio. All right, folks, listen, we'll be right back. Wrap up our show. 4:29 p.m., Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. We will be right back.